I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey everybody, welcome into another episode of The Memo on this Thursday, the 19th of May, 2016, the year of our Lord. Hello, Derek Russell, I'm Brad Locke. Turn your computer sound off, mister.
Volume down.
Double check mine.
Yeah, why don't you hypocrite? Why don't you look at yours before you? You know what the Bible says? Take the log out of your own eye before getting the stick out of your brother's.
Mute your own computer before.
Yeah, that's the 2016 modern retelling of that.
Well, it was muted. Thank you.
That's the message
when the Bible was updated. Yes, that's the terminology given. Make sure thine MacBook muted before judging your brother for his MacBook not being muted. Thus saith the Lord.
It's in red.
It's in red. So let it be written, so let it be done. No way, that's from a movie. is it not?
Ten Commandments?
Yes, it's from The Greatest Story Ever Told.
I don't know, whatever. Anyway, as I mentioned, it's Thursday, and you're back.
I'm here.
Welcome back.
I'm here. Actually, it is from the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Yeah.
I'll be darned. Emma Kent sat in your chair yesterday and did a fine job.
But she usually does.
But we let you come back anyway.
I had many stories to write, much mileage to
log
to the journal.
How was Water Valley?
Water Valley is a pretty cool little town. I'll talk more about it on next week's episode. That's I have not been there in some time, so
I haven't either. I haven't been there since I worked at the Oxford Eagle many moons ago.
I was telling Derek my story. I guess maybe same for you. When I worked at the Eagle, part of my job was to cover news in Water Valley.
I didn't realize y'all both worked at the Oxford
different
Eagle.
Times. Yeah. But yeah, I covered Water Valley sports,
like ships in the night.
Yep.
Or something. So you went to the Yellowbusha Brewing Company?
I went to the BTC.
Which
is the Be the Change Grocery.
Oh, right.
Very
okay.
Neat little.
But Yellowbusha's over there.
Yeah, I think the Yellowbusha Brewing Company, is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
I think that's down the street.
They make good beer. So, anywho, hey.
Hey. Sorry, I was reading an email.
Couldn't think of anything to talk about.
Oh.
Sorry.
You're still wearing glasses.
I am. I tried wearing contacts the other day, and that didn't work. Yesterday, in fact.
Yeah.
I thought my eyes clearing up, and then I wear contacts all day, and it's terrible again.
It's allergies?
Sinus something, yeah. And apparently the contacts aggravate it, so I got to wear these glasses that are 60 years old and need to be replaced, and are crooked on my face.
Maybe it's just time for a new pair of contacts?
No, these are brand new, so I don't know what the deal is.
You're dying.
Possibly.
I'm sorry.
I got all kinds of eye problems, so I'm used to it.
And you know, I made fun of you after you turned 40 because you had the whole, well, your body pretty much shut down on you.
Yeah, it did.
It was a colossal cosmic joke. But I've been 30, I hadn't even 31 for a week yet, and I pretty much thought I threw my back out yesterday.
Oh, it's fun.
Oh, it was just doing something stupid, like I was reaching in the back seat for something. It wasn't like I was lifting 80, you know.
I hit my 30s, just like reaching a weird angle, just suddenly I'd get a big
twinge
in my back.
I turned around like at a red light to get something, and it made a noise.
Get used to that.
That I've not heard before.
Yeah, get used to that. That
sounded like my body cursing.
Happens to me all the time, and then it'll just hurt for a few minutes, and then it's fine. But yeah, I can't turn at weird angles in the car to pick something up or grab something and without it usually causing me pain, so... Welcome to Getting Old.
Welcome to the old cast.
Yes.
I forgot who I am because I'm so old.
Do what?
I forgot who I am because I'm so old.
You don't know who you are.
Who are you? Why am I in this room?
What are you referencing?
There's no reference here.
Oh, okay.
I'm just talking about getting old.
I'm used to you making pop culture references quoting movies, so I thought that was from something. You were quoting Three Amigos before the show. Great movie.
Three Amigos is a great movie.
You said it was one of the best movies of all time.
It is one of the best movies of all time. I stand by my
not just best comedies, claim. But best movies.
Chris is over here like, where is this going? I mean, what's happening.
Is it better than Casablanca?
I got confidence you're going to pull this out.
No, it's not better than Casablanca.
Okay.
What?
I said, I got confidence y'all are going to pull this out.
I got nothing.
I wouldn't know.
Brad has gone off the rails.
I've seen Three Amigos. I still haven't seen Casablanca.
Well, that's okay.
In fairness, it was before my time.
Then again,
I've seen other old movies.
It could be the start of a beautiful relationship.
Did I get that reference? It's going to be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Come on, Chris. Close.
Have you even seen the movie? You didn't even know what he was talking about.
I recognize the line.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, and Play It Again, Sam, is that actually a line that's not in the movie, but people
Play
think
It Again,
is?
Sam is not in, see, in the film
but
at
people
all.
People think it is for some reason.
Speaking of Casablanca, while we're on the subject, I heard something on the radio the other day that one of the cast member...
She was 90. She was
the last living cast member, just passed away the other day. That's right. She played
Humphrey Bogart's mistress.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yes, she passed away one day last week at the age of 90.
Wow.
She was a French actress.
I did see a good many old movies growing up because my parents would watch them. Mm-hmm. You know, like North by Northwest or Charade, No Time for Sergeants. That's a funny one.
I love No Time for Sergeants.
Andy Griffith, love that. You haven't seen that?
I actually can't say. I have seen Casablanca within the last few years, mostly because Deanna said, I can't believe we haven't seen it and sat down. But I wouldn't say I'm very good, other than Westerns.
Yeah.
John Wayne and Clint Eastwood Westerns. And I don't know if you even call Clint Eastwood Westerns old movies, but before I was born, that's most of my repertoire of movies before I was born.
Yeah. No Time for Sergeants is Andy Griffith and Don Knotts before Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
I'll have to check it out.
No, another one I like is Intruder in the Dust, adaptation of a William Faulkner novel, and it was filmed in Oxford.
Yeah.
I've seen that one several times.
There you go.
Pretty good little flick. It's kind of cool to see Oxford back then as it was and, you know, the different places where they shot it, like the square. As my dad likes to point out, when the police come racing onto the square at one point in the movie, they're going the wrong way.
I try to remember stuff like that because growing up here, like, I try to remember what the giant field where Walmart Supercenter on West Main now sits, because nothing was there.
Yeah.
It was just a giant field.
Yeah, I live over just kind of behind that Walmart, and from what I can gather, that used to just be like a lot of pasture land or something.
Oh, and they found like shell casings over there.
Yeah, that's where they fought.
From the war, you know, Battle of Tupelo when they were building it. I mean, that's
cool. Maybe we should go digging in my yard, see what I can find.
Well, don't do it near a gas line or a water line.
Yeah, whatever.
You're supposed to call before you dig.
It'll be fine.
I believe that's what the sign says. Yeah.
811?
Yeah.
Don't monkey around power lines.
So you don't have to call 911?
Yeah. Don't monkey around power lines.
Do y'all not have those signs?
I don't recall.
I have a vague recollection of that. I have a vague recollection of that.
They have like a monkey would walk around and pick up a down power line and get zapped and say, don't monkey
around
power
lines. Those darn monkeys.
What are the monkeys doing picking up power lines?
Really?
They're monkeys.
They're supposed to be running across them.
Opposable thumbs.
Aren't monkeys supposed to be kind of smart, though? I don't know.
Smarter than you.
Well, probably. Hey, we've got a good show today. We've got Bobby Harrison coming on to talk about this transgender bathroom debate that's become a big deal nationwide and in Mississippi. We've got Caleb Bedillion coming on the show. City Council has approved a land purchase by the city, so Caleb's going to talk about that a little bit. Scott Morris will come on to talk about a movie he's reviewed. Derek here will have highlights of what's coming up this weekend on the entertainment scene.
Hey. That's me.
What's happening?
All right.
All right, let's get into the show, buddy.
Okay, pal.
Okay, chum.
All right, friend.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Before we get into the show,
friend.
Let's remind y'all that today's show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Go take your spouse or your chum, your pal. Go eat a South. Let's go down to Jackson and welcome in Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. Bobby, how's it going?
All right, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. Going to tackle a hot topic here, not just in Mississippi, but nationwide. Transgender bathroom, the transgender bathroom controversy, or whatever you want to call it, became a big issue in North Carolina when they signed a bill into law that forces transgender residents to use the bathroom that corresponds with their sex at birth. So they've come under a lot of fire for that. And then recently, President Barack Obama issued a suggestion, guidelines that schools allow students to use the bathroom with the gender with which they identify. Or if you don't, you could risk losing federal money. So here in Mississippi, initially, I believe Carrie Wright, the state superintendent, had said they would go along with this. But now, facing some political pressure, Bobby, she's kind of reversed course, hasn't she?
Yeah, she did. she pretty quickly too, but she was facing a lot of political pressure. This happened, what, Brad, last Thursday or Friday?
Yeah.
Or as I understand it, every school in the nation, every public school district, university, community college, public university, community colleges received a letter or guidelines from the Obama administration, I think specifically from the Justice Department and Department of Education, setting up, that students should be allowed to use the bathroom of the sex of which they identify. I hope I said that right.
Right.
First, Carrie Wright issued a statement, the State Superintendent of Education, saying that a safe, caring school environment was important, and they were going to adhere to the guidelines from the federal officials. And, you know, the governor quickly questioned her decision to do that. And then I think Monday or Tuesday,
Monday.
11 House Republicans, mainly freshmen and not any one in a true leadership position, sent out a letter to her saying that, you know, she should reverse her decision, and she didn't. She should resign her position as State Superintendent of Education. Overnight, I think about 27 of the 32 Senate Republicans expressed similar views. And then yesterday, she quickly reversed decision, saying that she was not going to, that the State Department of Education would not adhere to the guidelines put forward by the federal officials until there was further discussions with the State Board of Education, to which she actually, answers. The State Board of Education hires her and of course, could fire her, too. And the State Board of Education is supposed to meet in the coming week or two to discuss this issue. And, you know, and what's being kind of lost is this also affects the 15 community colleges and the 8 public universities received similar guidelines from the federal officials. So it's an issue that's is creating a lot of publicity, Brad, but in the real world that we actually live in, I don't know how big an effect it would be. I mean, this, you know, you're talking about, as I understand, you're talking about transgender people, you're talking about a very few, small number of people, and it's not, you know, if you read the guidelines, you know, it's not like that sets forth the process where it's not like, you know, some 10th grade boy who wakes up on a Thursday saying, I'm bored. I think under these new guidelines, I can go in the women and the girls' bathroom and I'm going to get up and do that. That's just not practical of what they're talking about. You know, you read the guidelines talking about specific processes and dealing with particular kids who normally are in difficult situations and are struggling with their identity, and it's unfortunate that it's kind of come to such a political issue.
Yeah, and you mentioned that statement sent out by the legislative Republicans on Monday. They basically said that if Carrie Wright doesn't reverse her position on this, she should step down. That's basically what they said, isn't it?
No, that's exactly what they said. Yeah. And to take it a step further, even after she reversed her decision yesterday, Michael Watson, a Republican from the Gulf Coast, from Jackson County, as I understand, said she should still resign. So I mean, I'm not saying this is going to cost her job, but she's feeling some heat over this issue.
I mean, obviously these lawmakers can't make her resign, but they can put pressure on the Board of Education, can't they?
Yeah, the Board of Education. Yeah, lawmakers. You know, they write the checks they appropriate the money, so they always have a lot of impact. And it's important to note that the State Board of Education, I think it's off the top of my head, I think it's 9 members, and they're all appointed by the governor, Phil Bryant, Republican. Republican Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves and Republican House Speaker Philip Gunn. And so these are people who would be more than likely responsive to the wishes of Republican leadership in the legislature.
Bobby, I've got a quick question I want to just interject. I noticed that earlier this week the governor vetoed a bill that would have had something, maybe some pay raises for MDE employees. Is there any belief that that was related to this issue, his veto of it?
No. It was what that was the legislature had was extending a process where they had taken the State Department of Education out from under the purview or under the control of the personnel board. The personnel board is essentially our version in Mississippi of a civil service. So politics are not supposed to be involved. So, you know, if you get fired, it's got to be for good cause and those types of things, not because you supported the wrong candidate for governor or whatnot. And the State Department of Education, Carrie Wright, had asked to be taken out from the control of the personnel board so that she could reorganize her department. The governor vetoed, and the governor in general is in support of taking the agencies out from under control of the personnel board, but he vetoed this legislation because he said that they provided a lot of sizable raises for their employees. And, you know, the State Department of Education came back and said the raises that they provided were in a lot of instances mandated by the legislature, and other instances that was because people had received more education benchmarks, which entitled them to higher pay. So anyway, that veto was probably in the works before this all came about.
Apparently if some states do not adhere to these guidelines, they could see some federal funding pulled. Look at Mississippi, a public education system that's already underfunded. K-12 receives about $800 million in federal funds. The 8 public universities, about $22 million, and community colleges, $36 million. So if it came to that, Bobby, that would be quite devastating, obviously.
Yeah,
to the system.
I'm not sure how that would, that doesn't even take into account stuff like Pell Grants. And,
right.
Perfectly honest, I'm not sure if that would be affected. And, to be perfectly honest, I think that's a long way from happening.
Right.
But that's, you know, that and taking a state to court are the only hammer, if you will, that the federal government has in trying to enforce these types of things.
Right.
And it would not surprise me. You know, ACLU sent out a statement yesterday. They were, you know, essentially advertising for, a transgender student who felt they were discriminated against because of this state ruling or state reversal by Carrie Wright.
Right.
To go to court on this issue. So to me, that's probably the next step. If somebody, you know, if a student steps forward and says, I've been aggrieved by this by the state policy, and you know, it could be played out in court like these things often are.
All right. Well, y'all can read Bobby's story in today's journal and at djournal.com. Bobby, appreciate you taking time.
All right. Thank y'all.
The Daily Journal is excited to announce a change on our website that will allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We have recently removed our paywall, and djournal.com is now free from the first click to the last. We also have increased our multimedia content by launching new products ranging from videos to webcasts. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Visit djournal.com to stay informed on the latest news in Northeast Mississippi. Whether you want a recipe for tonight's dinner or details on the city's plan to revitalize neighborhoods, you can find it all in one place. There's no limit to what you can do at djournal.com, so come and stay a while and leave informed about the communities we serve. Need to remind you all of the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal and djournal.com. A new episode of Prep Rally dropped yesterday, as it does every Wednesday. Northeast Mississippi High School Sports Talk with myself and Gene Phelps are smack in the middle of the state baseball tournament, so we got a lot of that on the program that, again, was uploaded yesterday. You can listen to it on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And we've also got double coverage: Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. New episode coming tomorrow, Friday, a day later than normal. Parrish is tied up with something today, so they're going to get that done on Friday. Look for it on iTunes, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Caleb Bedillion joining us now to talk about 76 acres of land. Tupelo has not struck oil, so it's not a up from the ground came a bubbling crude type situation. But
no. The city doesn't seem to be lacking for funds that are available to buy land, so maybe there is an oil well somewhere that we don't know about.
You never know. I stand corrected. 76.2. That point two is very important. At a price rate of $450,000.
That's right.
What are we doing with this land, Caleb?
There are ideas, but no details. Now, for people that may be listening and aren't sure the area we're talking about, this is north of the Audubon neighborhood. It is west of Lawndale Drive and south of Ida Street. So the city already owns some property there. The city owns the Azalea Gardens apartment complex, which is a little bit north of this new land. And then there's also the city's Hancock Park, which is in the area. Now, the area has some historical significance. City Attorney Ben Logan, who's also something of a history buff, tells me that the Battle of Accia, which was during one of the French and Indian Wars, would have been in this area, and the French army would have camped either on or near the property that the city just bought. So Mayor Jason Shelton, City Development Services Director Shane Hooper, both of them have talked about the idea of some kind of historic park and green space. They're talking about trails, some kind of markers, but they don't want the whole thing to be some kind of park. They also are talking about new residential development, which the officials believe the city needs quite badly, but this is a little bit different from what they're looking at in Mill Village, where the city at the beginning of this month bought several lots in Mill Village and seemed to have some pretty firm ideas about how they're going to bring in a developer and who will build new single-family residential cottages there. Now, so that's the plan there. Mm-hmm. Over in this new 76 acres, the city will buy, again, They want new housing. There doesn't seem to be a firm plan on how that's going to happen. And there is some sort of plan for a historic park or green space or trails, something like that.
You've got two major irrigation ditches, if I'm remembering from my bird's eye view, that run through this area. The only access road I can think of is coming down Monument. Of course, it's overgrown and boarded up, and you can't keep going past that point.
That's right.
So, on the
western edge of the property that the city has bought, Monument Drive comes down, and then it ends and meets Bryan mm-hmm. Drive, which approaches and forms a corner there. But yes, there's a gate there at the end of Monument Drive, and the city owns a pretty lengthy right-of-way that continues down. So theoretically, Monument Drive could be continued because the city already had that before buying this new land.
I'm sure that house at the corner of Bryan and Monument will absolutely love this.
Yeah, indeed.
I can't think of any other ingress, I mean, outside of just going off-road that we're
right. Now, part of the property that the city bought also directly borders Lawndale. Mm-hmm. It's between, I believe it would be the, now former Lutheran church mm-hmm. there. And the, is it Church of Christ?
No, it's
a Baptist church, Community Baptist.
Sure, we'll go with that. I remember Christ the King Lutheran, but if you're looking at the one to the right, I can't think of it. It's not Church of Christ. It's probably Baptist.
But anyway, if you wanted to, you could create a new road into that area from Lawndale. That would be another option, because there is some property that will directly abut Lawndale.
Anything from Thomas would have to go through a subdivision.
Yeah, Thomas does not directly border this area. So yeah, you could either create a new road going directly from Lawndale into the new property or from Monument. There are a couple different ways you could do it from Monument.
Well, maybe this will keep the idiot kids from driving four-wheelers in my backyard on the property
Dang
that
kids.
I own.
Dang kids with their music.
I understand, Derek. You live in the area.
If you walk out my back porch and I've got a sizable backyard for Audubon. My property line goes past the tree line a good bit, but if you were to walk bird's flight, you would be not Enoch Street, but one over, which is one from Ida, and there's nothing in between me and Ida Street. I mean, there's nothing, you'd fall in a ditch, but that's
And part of this property is in a flood way and a flood plain. So that is going to restrict where residential development could be. You cannot build in a certified flood way. You can build in a flood plain, but there are various regulations. You have to be above a certain level, so it's a little bit more expensive. And I think maybe the city is thinking that is also another benefit of the park is they could, keep residential development out of a dangerous flood area while also still doing something productive with the property.
Not everybody agreeing with this, as per the city council.
That's right. The purchase, of course, had to be approved by the city council. Councilman Willie Jennings and Councilman Mike Bryan both voted against this. Both said the city has no plan, that the city shouldn't just be in the real estate business, buying land on speculation with the hope that something can be done with it later. Now, City Attorney Ben Logan tells me he doesn't think it's quite accurate to say the city doesn't have a plan So, you know, obviously there's some disagreement among city leaders about what the situation here is, but most of the city council thought it was a good idea.
Long term, short term, I mean, we're not going to see bulldozers start coming in and mowing stuff down anytime soon.
Anything to happen here anytime soon. Certainly, West Jackson redevelopment is taking up most of the attention right now, though the NDC is taking the lead there. In terms of short term, I would expect it's more likely to see something happen in Mill Village. There's less to be done there before it could be developed, and the plans seem more detailed. So I would expect Mill Village redevelopment efforts to be more of a short term. You might be able to see something there pretty soon. This new property, I wouldn't expect anything happening.
So basically this just enables me to call the city and complain when people are trespassing.
That's right, Derek.
Excellent.
Don't they have that new texting service you can...
Yes.
Yeah, just light him up.
I'll just call Jason. Hello.
2 a.m.
Four kids with four-wheelers in my backyard. This is your problem now.
Hey, Mayor, the music's too loud. Come out here.
All right,
Caleb. Go for it, Derek. Tell me how that turns out.
I will. I'll let you know. Caleb, thanks for joining us. Good information.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Community leaders from across Northeast Mississippi will gather next week to discuss transforming public education and Mississippi's infrastructure. The CREATE Foundation's Commission on the Future of Northeast Mississippi will host its annual State of the Region meeting. The event will be held from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. on May 26th at the Bancorp South Conference Center. Guest speakers include Don Nielsen, Blake Wilson, and Mike Taggart. Nielsen is an author and former school board member in Seattle, Washington. He will discuss meaningful changes to public education. Wilson and Taggart will talk about the condition of Mississippi's roads and bridges.
A city network of new and revamped signs will greet longtime residents and first-time tourists by the end of the year. New gateway signs will be located at six major entry points to Tupelo. They will feature a crown logo designating Tupelo as the birthplace of Elvis Presley. Trailblazer signs will be placed throughout the city, particularly in the downtown area, and they will point the way to major attractions. The City Council accepted a bid by Knight Sign Industries of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to install the signs for $400,000. Once work begins, they will have 150 days to install the upgraded signs and lighting.
For the second month in a row, Tishomingo County deputies have uncovered a moonshine still. When deputies attempted to serve a chancery court warrant Tuesday on Robert Jr. Voiles, they discovered an active moonshine still at the County Road 317 Burnsville property. Officials found items used in the production of untaxed whiskey along with firearms. Voiles was transported to the Tishomingo County Jail, where he will be facing charges of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and the manufacture of untaxed liquor.
A man charged with capital murder in connection with the killing of a Tupelo cab driver now faces additional charges. The Lee County Sheriff's Office has charged Leonta Gates with capital murder, armed robbery, grand larceny, and possession of a weapon by a convicted felon in connection with the alleged May 13th robbing and shooting of a cab driver, Charlie Williams. On Wednesday, the Tupelo Police Department charged Gates with two counts of armed robbery and one count of possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. Tupelo police responded around 5 a.m. on Sunday to an armed robbery call at the Chevron store located 1159 South Gloucester Street. The suspect took an undetermined amount of cash and stole a vehicle from a customer in the parking lot. Gates was identified as the suspect through a joint investigation by the Lee County Sheriff's Office and Tupelo Police Department.
Bricks showered down onto the street and sidewalk on Tuesday afternoon in downtown Corinth when a portion of a brick wall suddenly collapsed. There were no reported injuries, but there was vehicle damage, a crushed awning, and a smashed building window. City Building Inspector Greg Tyson said it is unclear why the bricks fell loose from the building, which is located at the corner of Cruz and Fillmore Streets. It houses the Whedon Law Firm and apartments. Corinth firefighters went to the roof on a bucket truck and removed the remaining loose bricks so they would not fall later and hurt someone. Officials still need to evaluate the structure to determine what kind of repairs are needed. I need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere. A lot going on at the South, Derek. Got a new chef. Nick Rice has been there over a year now, since last April.
Not so new.
So I guess...
Well established at this point.
Can we drop the new then? They've got a chef. They got a lot of things going
on.
They
have an old chef.
They have a lot of things going on at South, including a chef.
Well, that's good. Most restaurants would benefit from that.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, he's been there since last April. I got new lunch and dinner menu items. I guess maybe by this point they're not considered new either, are they?
They change things up every week. Like I said, I went a couple of weeks ago, and they have completely moved from their normal Sunday lunch menu to a Sunday brunch menu with a few different choices that they've not had in the past. So there's a lot of different things.
Get that on Saturdays and Sundays, I believe. South is also home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar. That's every Saturday. You can check out happy hour specials every weeknight. And trivia, if you're into trivia, useless trivia. I still need to go to this because I'm pretty good at useless trivia. It begins every...
Because you've seen so many movies.
I've seen some. It's not just movie trivia,
right?
I've seen
some mini movies.
It's not just movie trivia, is it? Every Wednesday at 7, winner gets a $50 gift card. No entry fee.
There may not be a category on 1980s country music, Wayne. I'm not sure.
1990s country
music. There might be some Van Halen
questions. 90s country is really in my wheelhouse, so, yeah. Anyway, or 80s pop music.
Yeah. Well, all that to be said, visit South.
Yes.
On North Gloucester.
It's Thursday. That means it's M. Scott Morris Day.
I like that. Let's keep that.
It's not an official day.
And we'll shorten it to Morris Day.
Yeah, well,
and then in 100 years, it'll be Morris Day.
Your wife works there, too. We can make it just Morris Day.
Yeah. There you go. I like that.
Okay. Anyway, got a movie to talk about, Scott. Got a review of Money. Let me try that again. Got a review of Money Monster.
Money Monster.
A George Clooney and Julia Roberts vehicle. It's nothing to do with the Ocean's 11 franchise, right? No.
Right. And there are very few cars in this.
Yeah.
Not really any vehicles.
Basically, it's a movie about this, this Jim Cramer type guy.
Yeah,
kind
of
a TV show.
Money Monster is kind of the Mad Money type of show that that George Clooney hosts. And Julia Roberts, I guess she's either the director or the producer. Anyway, she's in there in the control booth in charge of everything.
Right. And some guy busts in there with a gun and things go sideways there.
Yeah, exactly.
What exactly is the plot?
Well, the story, I mean, that's pretty much it. Yeah, the story is that, like, the Clooney's character is, is a showman.
Right.
And he's a showman about stocks, and he pushes stocks one way or the other, and he'll use... vulgar terms that we won't repeat here on this glorious podcast, but to convince people to like invest in different stocks. And he actually pushed one that lost $800 million in value overnight.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and so the guy who comes in, he lost basically a substantial chunk of money based upon, this guy's on Lee Gates, the TV show guy's recommendation.
Well, listen, if you're taking stock advice from a guy like that, I almost kind of think you deserve it.
There is a scene that I don't want to ruin for anybody, but you're not the only one who feels that way.
Right.
This movie was directed by Jodie Foster, and I felt it had a lot in common with the movie she starred in called Inside Man directed by Spike Lee.
Yeah, okay.
And in the tone and in the feel and the color of it all in some ways.
Yeah.
It's a very, very, very taut film, very, very, very well paced. And there's comedy throughout that's kind of unexpected, which is good because the story itself, once you realize what's going on, the plot kind of leads to a place where you kind of know where you're going.
Right.
So there's stuff that's very predictable about this, except for the fact that throughout you have these little nice little moments of comedy.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of leavens it. I don't think this is a great film by any stretch of the imagination, and I don't think if you didn't have my main thesis here, if you didn't have Clooney or Julia Roberts in these two roles, that nobody would have gone because it wouldn't have been that good of a film. But they have a way of, when you see a jerk who's trying to push product on you, if it's George Clooney, you're willing to say, well, he's probably got a heart of gold anyway, because he's got that.
He's got a
way,
kind face.
He's got that, and he connects with any connects with viewers.
Right.
Then I thought Roberts does a great job of looking both nervous and calm at the same time.
Yeah.
It's something she's perfected over the centuries, decades.
She's been around a while. Yeah, doesn't look like
from Smyrna, Georgia. Yeah,
how about that? So Money Monster. Hey. Money. Let me try this a few times. Money Monster.
Eaten by the Monster of Love.
Money Monster. Money Monster. Okay.
Money.
You put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
That's right, Derek. Thank you. And then you got let's just talk about Clooney real quick. His character, not a good guy on the surface, but he's not irredeemable, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I would say that.
So he's more complex than maybe you might initially think.
Well, he's complex in a cliche kind of way, I suppose.
I got you. And then there's the guy that plays
Jack O'Connell is the plays a Kyle Budwell. There it is. Kyle, the guy. And that guy, you know, he comes in he comes in with violence. You know, he's a terrorist, basically. He has a bomb vest and a gun. He shoots the gun in the studio, takes over.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a terrorist. But he makes charges that in order to, like, stall him, the studio starts looking into the charges and thinking, you know, to try to keep everybody alive.
Yeah.
And so... You know, does he have a point? You know, he may, but he's still the guy with the gun and the bomb vest.
Is he a bad guy that you can sympathize with?
Oh, definitely. I mean,
that's what I've gathered.
You know, we had, like, The Big Short came out last year. I didn't see it until March when I saw it, like, third-run movie theater.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to see more of these somewhat kind of, I mean, in some ways, this is a... We're through the recession, so now we can look back on the recession and relive some of that terror that we all went through financially and see it play out on the big screen. I think we'll probably have some more movies like this that play on Wall Street and on the criminal activity that might or might not be going on on Wall Street.
Right.
And like I said, this is tightly packed. It's funny throughout, and it's probably better than its material because of the performances by the actors. Okay. I'm gonna give it a B-. It's at the Malco.
Okay.
Well, in Tupelo.
I'm always up for a movie with Clooney in it, or Julia Roberts, who's my dad's favorite actress, by the way. That's his movie actress crush, I guess. But you can read this review in today's journal or at djournal.com. Scott, thank you, sir.
Hey, I'm just great that I can be here and make this country great again.
This country? Are you Trump's VP candidate? You know,
I'm thinking of going beyond. I'm thinking I've done it here at the podcast, that maybe it's time to move on to the country myself.
I feel like there should be a middle there where you ascend to something else maybe before that.
You think before, after podcast and before country, I should do something else great?
You know, something small. I'm not saying it's going to be any great measure, governor, or anything like that.
I think
food truck,
Arby's great again. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Hey, now the beef and cheddar is a staple of American food, and it's never been bad.
Which explains a lot about our country.
That's right.
Anyway, all right. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for having me. I think.
Okay, Derek, what's happening this weekend, man? We got the scene section, kind of laying it all out for people, but. You tell us what's going on. What's happening? How do we entertain ourselves?
We're in a weird time where festivals kind of abruptly stop around Gumtree and don't start back until June.
Yeah.
But one, if you just head a little bit north of Tupelo and land in New Albany, you'll find the 15th annual Down from the Hills Mississippi State Bluegrass Championship.
Whoa.
This is going to be going on this Saturday. And some other little things going on, but that's really the number one thing you're going to want to look for this weekend. It's always a great thing. $5 admission, a full day of bluegrass. You can't beat that. Anybody can compete. The entry fee is $5. There's no set schedule. You just put your $5 down and you get to play at some point on stage, and major money can be taken away.
Trivia, I used to own a banjo. But I never learned to play it.
I do own a banjo.
I can't say I owned it. A friend, when I worked at this, I worked at the radio station, the country station.
Yeah.
A friend of mine let me borrow it because I was like, I think I'll learn how to play a banjo.
And well, there you go.
I held on to it for years. Like, got married, moved back to Mississippi, still had it. And eventually, the guy wanted it back. And this is like 6 or 7 years later. And finally, I hadn't talked to the guy since then, but he knew my sister. So I got it back to him. Through my sister. I was like, I kind of wish I'd learned to play that.
You gotta hate family, don't you? So this is going on 10 a.m. Saturday at the Union County Fairgrounds there in New Albany. As I said, $5 to get in, 12 and under free, $5 to play. They'll be taking submissions is the right word, but they'll be taking entry. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. They'll take entries up to the morning of, so up till the 10 a.m. mark. So check that out. More info online at MississippiBluegrass.com is where you can find that link. Also, the ARC, the ARC chapter of Northeast Mississippi, the Northeast Mississippi chapter of the ARC, that would be the way I want to say that, right? Mm-hmm. Is going to be holding an event at Ballard Park near the Orrin Dunn City Museum Saturday at 10 a.m. as well. Lots of different things going on there for events for kids. ARC is the number one organization of grassroots advocacy for citizens of all ages with cognitive, intellectual, and developmental disabilities. So that's a great event for all ages going on Saturday. And then Saturday night, if you're just looking for even more music over at the Link Center, you can visit the first annual. I hate that. That's not the first annual.
They haven't proven it yet.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
It's not annual till next year.
We wish them the best, but you don't know. The Southern Songwriters Showcase, Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Link Center. Tickets are going to be $5. You can purchase them online at link-center.org/live-at-link.
And backing up a second, the ARC event, what will be taking place?
They've got live music, they've got vendors, they've got food, they've got jumpies and face painting, so just pretty much anything you can think of.
So even when there's seemingly nothing to do, there's always something to do.
Even when things slow down a little bit, thankfully for me. It's been a busy festival season already.
Yes, it has.
And as we turn around and get prepared for Elvis Fest here in a few weeks.
Trent Harmon, come to Tupelo.
Trent Harmon, Friday at Fair Park, and of course the real show is the Elvis tribute artist going on at the Bancorp South Arena. That's where the people are and where the names are, so don't forget about that.
Yeah.
Find out who will be crowned Tupelo's Elvis champion this year and go on to Elvis Week in Memphis in August to find out who's going to be crowned the ultimate Elvis tribute artist.
You wrote a column today. It's like four paragraphs. You write really long paragraphs when you write columns. Nothing against that. Just an observation. You wrote about Donald Trump.
I did. I haven't learned my lesson, apparently.
Apparently not.
Well, I just wonder my mindset was what led him to being throwing his hat in the ring for president. So this conversation played out in my head. As it is around the time of the commencement speeches and people giving large lessons on life, I just wondered what to, I actually watched an entire commencement speech he gave.
Why would you do that?
A few years ago.
Why would you watch any commencement speech? I don't care who it is. I'm not watching it.
Hey, Brokaw's was pretty good.
Was it? Yeah, he took some digs at Alabama, didn't he?
He did. Did you hear that?
I didn't.
All Alabama people.
He was wearing a powder blue Ole Miss hat on stage and said, if I was giving the commencement speech at Alabama, I'd have to use smaller words and shorter sentences.
And all the Alabama people that have no sense of humor got really angry about it.
Yeah. All I'm saying is I've made that full circle. Tom Brokaw for president. I've been saying that for years. I would work for his campaign for free.
Tom Brokaw. I miss that guy.
I think Tom Brokaw would be a great president.
I used to watch the National Evening News, but not since he and Dan Rather left. Just can't get into it.
Dan Rather.
Yeah. He's still around, isn't he?
He is.
Okay. I could remember he died.
I don't think he died. Did he die?
Peter Jennings died a few years ago.
Peter Jennings did die. No, Dan's still with us.
Ted Koppel's still kicking?
Dan's 84.
Ted Koppel?
Ted died. Didn't Ted die?
I don't know. Walter Cronkite?
Ted's still alive. He's much younger. Walter's dead.
I figured. Edward R. Murrow, is he still around?
Yeah, well, he's dead as well. As well as J. Edgar Hoover.
Okay. Anyway.
Now, we'll run through all the announcers. Cronkite died.
What?
Cronkite died probably 10 years ago.
It hadn't been that terribly long, has it? I don't know.
I want to say it was like 08.
Really?
That 09?
Okay.
That wouldn't be 10 years.
Who knows?
I don't know.
It says 2009 here, I think.
There you go. Nailed it.
How about that?
You're welcome.
Didn't realize it was that recent, listeners. He was born in 1916. Yeah, he lived a good long time.
He did. And that's the way it was.
Yes. And that's it for this show, Derek.
I can't do a good Walter Cronkite.
I can't either. This show, by the way, is sponsored by
It was, because it's over.
It's not over yet, buddy.
Until I say it is.
Anyway, sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. You can try their cheap date night every Tuesday when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. Count them, two for the price of one. That includes salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25.
Good deal. South. Can't beat that.
Can't beat that with a stick.
Tell them where they can find us, Brad.
You can find us at 1242 South Green. Oh, you meant like online. Okay.
Find Brad at, also call Brad at 662.
We're both moving, you and I. It'd be hard to find us.
At some point, somewhere.
Yeah, at some point we're moving.
And the background is Brad is moving pretty close to where Derek lives now.
And that's why Derek's
so
moving.
Derek,
just buy my house.
No, it's probably not big enough. Yeah. Online at D-Journal Memo.
That's
Twitter.
Yeah, the online, where can they find us? That's what I meant.
That's the Twitter, at D-Journal Memo. You can email us, memo@journalinc.com. Keep up with all the news, entertainment, sports, and other things going on in Northeast Mississippi at djournal.com, and follow the journal on Twitter, at D-Journal Now. I'm on the Twitter, at Brad Locke.
Mm-hmm.
You, sir, are on the Twitter.
I am.
At W. Derek Russell. Chris Kiefer is on Twitter, at Chris Kiefer. Which F is silent?
Two
I can't.
F's.
Okay.
One of them is silent. You'll have to guess.
And if you get it wrong, you'll never find them.
Never.
On the Twitter.
Suspense.
That's right.
It's killing me.
So that's the last show of the week, my friends. We'll be back on Monday. At least I will be. That's the plan. What about you, Derek?
I will not be here on Monday.
Really?
I will not.
Why?
I don't want to record with you.
No, okay. Well, I'll just have Emma in here again.
She does a better job. You'll be gone at some point. I'm just racking up for when you're leaving.
I'll be gone in July for a week.
There you go, July.
So, there you go. Okay, thanks everybody for tuning in, and I hope you have a great weekend.
You as well. Oh, damn.
I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to them.
I hope you have a terrible weekend.
I hope your weekend stinks.
All right, goodbye.
Okay, bye.